All right, let's begin. In preparation for Pesach Haba Aleinu Letova, in a few days, we'll do the second parak of Pesachim, Kaf Tes Amud Beis, and Lamed Amud Aleph. One of the most important sugyas in the Masechet is, in terms of kashrus on Pesach, is the sugya we're about to learn about Isser Chametz B'Mashehu. That's what I've titled this year. And we're going to find out how many people here are part of the executive smicha program. Anybody? Mike, no, you're not in it.
Colonies and cyber.
Well, you're in it. You're partially in it. You don't want to admit that you're in it.
I'm in it. I've been like 1 foot in.
Were you there last year for the Tarobas?
No.
Oh, okay, fine. So never mind. This would have been of special interest.
I'm worried if I admit it, you might ask me about something that I may
right.
Probably didn't.
Right. This would have been of special interest if you had gone there. So I'll assume I'm the only one here with extensive experience in Yoredea for now.
Safe.
Or, yeah.
With any experience.
Okay, fine. So the Gemara in Kaf Tes Amud Beis, we're right in the middle over there, smack in the middle of two dots. Everybody see where I am? Amar Rav. Mm-hmm. Okay. Amar Rav, the two dots. Amar Rav. Amar Rav. Chametz bizmano, ben bimino, ben shelo bimino, asur. Shelo bizmano, bimino asur, shelo bimino, mutar. All right, you have a bunch of terms over here. One of them is chametz. I'm going to assume that one is pretty clear. Chametz, everybody knows what that is. But there's a problem. When we say chametz, what are we referring to?
Bread and pitot.
So right now, bread is chametz?
No.
No, chametz is only on Pesach. I mean, it's chametz all year round, but it's not relevant that it's chametz all year round. There's chametz bizmano, and there's chametz sheino bizmano. Now, there's actually two kinds of chametz sheino bizmano. There's chametz before Pesach, and then there's chametz shavar alav Pesach. There's chametz that exists before Pesach. Now, chametz today, there's no problem with it, right? But there is a time right before Pesach when there is a problem with chametz. Right? We stop eating chametz 6 hours, 7 hours before Pesach. There's an isur to eat chametz at that point. So that's chametz before Pesach. Then there's also chametz shavar alav Pesach, chametz, you know, that exists in the duty-free shops and in the whiskey stores for the next few weeks after Pesach, the next few months even, maybe. That's chametz shavar alav Pesach. So you have chametz bizmano and chametz she'eno bizmano. Then you have a concept called min b'min and min b'she'eno mino. Anybody know what that means? This is mine, right?
The status changes?
No. Min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino are two fundamental concepts in tarovet, in mixtures. Okay? Imagine you have, let's talk about not Pesach for a second. Let's say you have a piece of pig that falls into, I don't know, into a salad. All right? Well, you know what? Salad or soup. Soup is even better. Piece of pig that falls into soup. Okay? And then it gets kind of disintegrated into there so that you can't really fish it out anymore. Okay? Now, that is called min b'she'eno mino. Why? Because the pig is one min. It's one type. There's one taste. And the soup is another type, another taste. So min b'she'eno mino. And then you have min b'mino. What's min b'mino? If you have pieces of treif cow mixed up with pieces of kosher cow, that's min b'mino. They're both the same. They're all the same. But it's also a mixture. And there are different halachot that apply to each one. So let's now go back to Rav's statement. Amar Rav, chametz bizmano ben b'mino ben shelo b'mino asur. Chametz on Pesach, when it's mixed up with other food, okay, other things that taste like chametz, basically.
With kosher Pesach food.
Let's say matzah, right, with matzah, let's say. Asur. Shelo bizmano, bimino asur, shelo bimino mutar. But if it's not bizmano, excuse me, if it's not on Pesach proper, excuse me, if it's not on Pesach proper, so then the halacha is actually a little bit different. What's the halacha? The halacha is, according to Rav, that if it's lo bimino, it's mutar. But if it's bimino, it's asur. So he is more machmir on mino, min b'min, than he is on min b'she'eno min. Why would that be?
Because you can't distinguish them.
Okay. Good. It's certainly a reasonable explanation.
Would
you can't distinguish
the chametz after Pesach, or because otherwise, why should it at all be a sur?
Well, it could be referring to chametz right before Pesach, in the 6 hours, or it could be referring to the chametz which is after the Pesach. This is talking about after.
After the start of Pesach.
No, after Pesach is over. Chametz sha'avar lav Pesach. Chametz that was not sold and was owned by a Jew on Pesach. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the status after Pesach? Now, it's not nisur karet, okay? It's not nisur karet, but it's still asur. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to figure out why it's asur.
There's mutar if it's mixed, let's say, chametz with fruit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because he assumes you can identify the chametz in there and take it out?
No. He's saying, let's say it was mixed in a fruit salad, meaning it's mixed up, you can't get it out. Can't get it out, it's batel. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's batel.
On any quantity, no. Batel the shishim.
Good question. What do you think? Well, we're talking about shalom bismano now. Well, let's see. So the Gemara says, but my eskina, that's the first question the Gemara asks. What are we talking about here? What are we dealing with? Ilema, if you say, b'no sein tam, if you say we're talking about b'no sein tam, in other words, it's more than 1/60, okay? You can taste it. Then, shalobimino mutar, hayayif tama. How could it be mutar even after Pesach? You taste it. You're eating chametz shavar lav Pesach. You can taste it. Ela, b'mashehu. So maybe you think that we're talking about b'mashehu. So in other words, what's mashu? It means that even if there's a single grain of bread that falls into whatever it is that you're trying to eat, so that's going to be asur b'mashu. Then chametz bizmano ben b'mino ben shelo b'mino asur. And then you'll say, okay, we're talking about mashu. And when Rav says chametz bizmano, doesn't matter whether it's mino or shelo b'mino, Rav letame, actually Rav here is being consistent. Because what is he saying? The Rav Shmuel Adami Travayu kol isurin shabatorah b'mino b'mashehu, shelo b'mino, b'no tein tam. Because here, Rav would be saying that on Pesach, chametz b'mino is asur b'mashehu, just like everything is asur b'mashehu when it's min b'mino. Okay. If you have a piece of treif chicken mixed up with kosher chicken, Rav will say, doesn't matter what quantity it is. It could be one tiny little piece of that treif chicken mixed up with a, 99% kosher chicken. Sorry, asur b'mashu. So he'll say the same is true, of course, when it comes to chametz on Pesach. But of course, this leads us to the question of, well, that may be true of min b'mino, but what about min b'she'eno mino? Rav doesn't say that everything is asur b'mashu, even when it's min b'she'eno mino. He doesn't say that. So why does he say that on Pesach?
To get it clear, just give us an example of min in mino
with chametz, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
also the time when you're talking about it, in its time, not its time. We're talking only the any time in its asur. So it's either the 6 hours before or this.
No, no, no. There's bismano, which means on Pesach, meaning in the 7 days of Pesach. From tzeitz to tzeis.
Okay.
From shkia to tzeis. Okay?
So
that's bismano. And then when we say eno bismano, we're talking about after. That's what we're talking about for now.
So bismano
is on Pesach. Shalom bismano is after Pesach. But it means that the chametz existed on Pesach.
Okay?
Okay?
Right. And
min bimino means, let's say, chametz and matzah. All right? They're similar tastes. Give or take, pita and Sephardi matzah. I don't know. Whatever you want. Chametz and matzah are similar enough.
Chametz, matzah, chametz.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Good. Perfect. Exactly. Yeah, 19-minute matzah. Good. Let's confuse things even more. 19-minute matzah. 19-minute matzah gets mixed up with 18-minute matzah. The matzah that your kids baked at Chabad this afternoon got mixed up with actual kosher matzah. All right, whatever. If you've seen the kids bake the matzah, then you know what I'm talking about. So
I've seen it.
I don't know if I would either.
Okay.
So that's min b'mino. Min b'she'eno mino is like chametz that got mixed up with meat. All right, and it got all mixed up in a soup, let's say. Okay. So Rav says, we're assuming now that we're talking about b'mashehu. When Rav says it's asur, he means asur b'mashehu. That's the shi'ur that we're talking about. So when he says that about chametz min b'mino on Pesach, we don't raise any eyebrows. Why? Because he says that about all isurim. Mm-hmm. Rav says that about all isurim. Min b'mino is asur b'mashehu. But we do have an issue with him saying that it's asur b'mashehu when it's min b'she'eino mino on Pesach, because he doesn't say that for anything else. But the Gemara immediately says, don't worry about that. Rav l'tamei de Rabbi Shmuel d'ami Travaya kol yisur and shabbatara b'mino b'mashu, shelo b'mino b'notin tam. Normally he says, shelo b'mino, that's what we know in love as notin tam. That's like, you know, classic basar v'chalav, right? If a drop of milk falls into some meat, you have to evaluate, is it 1/60th or not? That's min b'she'eino mino. So too, Rav says, for all other isurim shabbatara, if it's min b'she'eino mino, it's asur b'notin tam. You can nullify it if you have more than a 60th. So it's not mashehu. But he doesn't say that here. Rav gazar chametz bizmano shelo b'mino atumino. Ve shelo bizmano b'mino asur k'rabi Yehuda. Okay, let's do that one by one. Rav made a gzeira. He didn't make it up. He says there is a gzeira that chametz on Pesach b'she'eino mino is asur b'mashehu, just like min b'mino of chametz. Unlike every other isur in the Torah.
It doesn't matter how tiny the sample is.
Doesn't matter. Chametz is asur b'mashehu. Doesn't matter what mixture it fell into. It could be mixed up with matzah. It could be mixed up with salad. It could be mixed up with fruits. It could be mixed up with biltong. It doesn't matter. It's always going to be asur b'mashehu. Why? Min b'mino, because that's the normal thing. Min b'she'eino mino, because of a gzeira. Now, why would he make a gzeira?
To protect the min b'mino. The gzeira is a gedder to protect min b'mino.
But why doesn't he make a gzeira everywhere else for min b'mino?
Because we're more machmer in Pesach.
Good. So Rashi on the spot says, Benotintam Rav Gazer v'chametz bizmano hoil u'bekaretu, because it's karet, which is not true of most other isurim. Shelo b'mino atumino v'alfagav debachelev v'dam lo gazar shelo b'mino. Those are also karet, chelev and dam. But he didn't make gzera. Why? Hatamu debedile mine avachametz lo bedile mine hoil v'ochlo kol yimot hashana. So Rashi points out two things. He says, number one, it's karet, is a really severe isur. But number two, just as important, as I asked before, is bread chametz right now?
No.
Yes and no. It's chametz, but it's not asur. We eat chametz every day. We eat chametz all the time. So lo bedile mine. People don't avoid it.
It's not even chametz now, because it gets its definition from Pesach.
Not necessarily true. There's chametz in the Beit HaMikdash as well. Chametz is chametz all year round. It's just not relevant for us nowadays, except on Pesach. But you're right.
Dam and chelev, you would never eat.
You would never eat dam and chelev. Nobody would ever eat. Everybody knows to not eat dam. Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows not to eat dam. But not everybody knows not to eat chametz on Pesach, because they eat chametz all year round. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, you need both of those factors. Both of those factors contribute to Rav's need to make a gzera. Good? Now the last thing it says is, what about chametz achar Pesach? Because chametz achar Pesach is not bekaret. Why does he think that min b'mino achar Pesach is asur at all? So the answer to that is, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda actually says it's asur midoraita to eat chametz after Pesach. There are at least three psukim that refer to the isur to eat chametz. And there's a variety of ways that the Gemara goes into on the previous daf about how to darshan those psukim. Rabbi Yehuda chooses to say that these three psukim teach you that chametz is asur on Pesach, it's asur before Pesach, and it's asur after Pesach, with varying punishments. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's asur after Pesach, midoraita, chametz. Chametz that existed that was owned by a Jew on Pesach. I'm talking about bread, chametz that exists on Pesach, that continues to exist after Pesach, is asur midoraita according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rav jumps on that and says, also a ta'arovet, including that bread, if it's min b'mino, it's also asur.
Maybe because you can't see the shiur, because it's the same kind of thing, and therefore
you can't distinguish.
You can't distinguish the quant.
Okay, maybe. because tarovet is a little bit of a different situation with chametz. But let's say, but however, b'shalobino, what about shalobimino? Why does he say he's not worried about shalobimino at all? Mutar de shalobizmano b'shalobimino atu mino kulehai lo gazrinan. However, he says when it comes to min b'sheino mino, he's not gozer, because that's a double gzera. He's not going to be gozer that far just for min b'sheino mino. I'll clarify. When Rabbi Huda says that chametz is asur after Pesach, midoraita, he does not mean a tarovet. He only means bread itself. If you have a chocolate bar that has bread in it, right? Rabbi Huda will not say that is asur midoraita after Pesach, because that's a tarovet of chametz. Tarovet of chametz is very different than chametz itself. Exactly. We have chametz gamor and we have chametz she'enu gamor. People know about this from mechirat chametz, right? Because midoraita, you are allowed to own tarovet chametz.
And beer is also chametz.
Beer is chametz gamor. Well, it's machlok.
But no, now they've got a
things that are, hold on one second. Anything that's chametz gamor, you're not allowed to own it on Pesach. But a tarovet chametz, you are allowed to own on Pesach midoraita. Midorabanan, you're not. So after Pesach, tarovet chametz also is not asur to eat, according to Rabbi Yehuda midoraita. Rav was gozer the tarovet chametz after Pesach, but not min b'she'eno mino, only min b'mino. That's Rav shita rishona. There are going to be three shitot. So should I go over Rav just one more time?
Yes.
Rav says that on Pesach, everything is off limits b'mashehu. Min b'mino, we understand, because it's just standard. That's Rav. But min b'she'eno mino is because of a gzera, because he wants to make sure you don't eat min b'mino. After Pesach, min b'mino is asur, and min b'she'eno mino is mutar legamre, a tarovet. Okay? That's Rav. Now we get the Shmuel. Shmuel amar chametz b'zmano b'mino asur. Shelo b'mino mutar. Shalob is mano, ben bimino, ben shalomino, mutar. Shmuel says that if you have chametz, a tarovet of chametz, bizmano, on Pesach, then if it's min bimin, asur. If it's shalob amino, mutar. Shalob is mano, ben bimino, ben bishalomino, mutar. Now, we have to understand that we're trying to keep things consistent over here, so we must be talking about in what shiur. Mashehu. So Shmuel now says that on Pesach, min b'mino is asur b'mashehu, just like Rav says. However, min b'she'eno mino, he doesn't make such a gzera, like Rav did. Mm-hmm. He says it's not asur b'mashehu. It's mutar, that tarovet b'mashehu. However, and even more so, after Pesach, both min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino are both mutar b'tarovet. So he's a level down from Rav. Now the Gemara is going to explain. Chametz bizmano b'mino asur. Why is chametz bizmano asur b'mino b'mashehu? Shmuel atame, the Rav and Shmuel, dami shavai, kol yisur and shabbat Torah b'mino asur and b'mashehu. They both agreed about this. Rav and Shmuel both feel that across the board, isurei Torah are always asur, min b'mino b'mashehu. They both agree about that. So it's not surprising that Shmuel should say this about Pesach as well. He simply did not make the gzeira that Rav did. He was not concerned in the way that Rav was for karet and eno bedile mine, that people are not going to avoid it. He was not concerned. He did not make the gzeira like Rav did. So Shmuel holds like Rav for min b'mino, but for everything else, he simply says, everybody relax. People, we can treat people like mature adults. They can tell the difference between chametz and matzah and Pesach. We can trust them. We don't have to make such a gzera about min b'she'eno mino. Make it as chamur as min b'mino, which we don't do anywhere else.
It's not a matter, it's not a matter of trust inside. It's a matter of like either it's null or fad.
No.
Because what he's saying is a breadcrumb falls into the soup, you can eat the soup.
Rav says, we don't want people to get confused. We don't want people to start making distinctions. You can eat this, you can eat that. No, everything's off limit, b'mashehu. Rav doesn't allow it to become batel. Shmuel allows it to become batel.
So Shmuel would hold if a breadcrumb falls into the soup on Pesach, yes, into soup.
Right. If it's bema, if it's only a, yeah.
If it's
not no sin tam.
So it, okay.
If it doesn't taste. Yeah. where'd we go? Shalom mino benotin tam shalom. Okay, so where did I go? Shmuel damit shavaya kol yisun shabatora mino asurin b'mashu shalom mino benotin tam shalom minan atu minan lo gazer shalom is mano bein b'minan bein shalom b'minan mutarin. Shmuel also says after Pesach everything is fine. It's only benotin tam. Rabbi Shimon, for Rabbi Yochanan, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. That's like Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda, namely that chametz after Pesach is not asur midoraita. It's only asur midorabanan. So he felt no need to make a gzera like this. Okay? He feels that it's completely a mutar midoraita. Rabbi Shimon says that after Pesach, chametz is asur only as a knas. It's a gzera. The rabbis made a gzera and said, we don't want people to keep their chametz in their houses and own it. And then after Pesach, they just take it out and eat it. That's what we want to avoid that happening. So we say chametz that existed on Pesach is asur after Pesach. That's the second shita.
Which means, according to that, there's nothing inherently asur about that chametz.
No, it's only asur midrabanan. Now we get to Rabbi Yochanan. Third shita. Rabbi Yochanan amar, chametz bismano ben bimino ben shalo bimino asur benotein tam. He's clear. Rabbi Yochanan says that on Pesach, everything is only asur benotein tam. There's nothing asur b'mashu. That's like, you know, even if you're if chametz fell into your soup, or if chametz fell into your matzah, it got mixed up, you can't get it out, you can eat it.
Is not in time literal?
Not in time is generally understood as 1/60th, okay. But it may be and probably is just a sign that you can taste it.
Okay.
Yeah. Not in time, shalob is mano. What about shalob is mano? So this seems obvious. Ben minan ben shalob minan mutar. Chametz bezmano ben b'mino ben shalob b'mino b'no sintam. Everything is only b'no sintam. Now, why is Rav Yochanan say this? Rav Yochanan tamei, the Rav Yochanan reish lakish tamei shavayu, kholi surin shavatar ben b'minan ben shalob b'minan b'no sintam, shalob bezmano ben b'shalob b'mino mutarin ki Rabbi Shimon. Just to be consistent, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree against Rav and Shmuel that across the board in the Torah, all isurei achila are only asur b'no sintam. At worst, doesn't matter whether it's min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino, it's never asur b'mashu anywhere in the Torah, including on Pesach. There's no isur b'mashu, according to Rav Yochanan. Doesn't exist. Everything is only no saint tam. And Rav Yochanan doesn't make any extra gzeras or anything like that.
Do you know where they're getting it from? I
mean, which part?
Were
like, were in terms of the after Pesach part, man. They told us it's Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and Rav is the only one who holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel both hold like Rabbi Shimon, that it's only Asur Midarabanan. About the Min Bimino Isur B'mashu, it's a massive Machlokes, and Rav and Shmuel take one position, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish take a different position. Actually, also based on Rabbi Yehuda, a different Rabbi Yehuda. Now we turn the page. Amar Rava. So we had three shitot. We have three shitot. Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. And they, you know, they go lower and lower in terms of severity. Rav is the most severe, and Rabbi Yochanan is the least severe. Amar Rava. Hilchata, what's the halacha? Hilchata. Chametz bezmano ben bimino ben shalo bimino asur b'mashu kirav. Shalo bezmano ben bimino ben shalo bimino mutar kerebi Shimon. What did he do?
He split the difference.
He mixes and matches. He says, on Pesach we are machmir like Rav, that everything is asur b'mashu, min b'mino and bim b'she'eno mino. However, after Pesach, everything is asur only b'no same tam. Nothing is asur b'mashu. No, sorry, actually, I should be clear. Rashi says, Shalob is mano ben bimino ben shalom mino, afilu beno sein tam, everything is mutter. According to Rava, after Pesach, Any tarovet is mutar, legamre. Legamre. There's no isur at all if it's a tarovet. If you have mamish.
If you've owned it on Pesach.
If you owned bread on Pesach, you cannot eat that after Pesach. But if you own chocolate bars on Pesach that have chametz in them, then you can eat that after Pesach. Even if it's no sin tam, even if you can feel that delicious.
No, but if you've owned bread and the bread by mistake, then you're thinking of it mixed up in a fruit salad.
The bread got mixed up in the fruit salad.
So
let's now we have to, the Gemara is going to distinguish for us between two different kinds of tarovet, and I think this will answer your question, Ilan. The Gemara says,
wait, when Rav says this, the halacha is that in fact Rav? The halacha when Rav says. He is actually giving us the halacha that's accepted now?
Well, let's get to the end so we can see clearly. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Did Rava really say this? Faha amar Rava, but Rava said, Rabbi Shimon knasa kanis ho'il va'avarla v'bayira u'bayimatze. Hani mili be'enei, aval alide taroves, lo. So the Gemara asks the question. It says, but how could Rava actually say this? Because after all, Rava says that we hold like Rabbi Shimon that it's only an Isser Darabanan after Pesach. And why is there an Isser? Good. Why is there an Isser Darabanan? So let me clarify this. Rava says after Pesach, according to Rashi, it's going to be mutar legamre. Even if it's got chametz in it, that is no sein tam, right? Now, why? Because there's no iser d'oraisa, and there's only an iser d'rabbanan on owning it, right? There's only iser d'rabbanan after Pesach because you had it on Pesach. Now, how does that work? So it's because Rabbi Shimon made a knas. He said, if you own chametz on Pesach, then you're going to come to keep it on Pesach and then eat it after Pesach, and you violated Pesach. It's a knas. It's a penalty. He says, if you own chametz on Pesach, we tell you you have to throw it out even after Pesach. So the Gemara says, what I told you before, that you're allowed to own tarovet chametz on Pesach, that's true midaraita, but midarabanan you're not. So the knas that the rabbis made, presumably they made it both for chametz that was aser midaraita and for chametz that was aser midarabanan. Why wouldn't they? The rabbis told you you're not allowed to own chocolate bars on Pesach that have chametz in them. The rabbis told you that. The Torah didn't. The rabbis told you that. But they're still not going to let you eat those chocolate bars after Pesach. Why would they? They told you you're not allowed to. They can make the knas on that as well. Which means that tarovet chametz after Pesach should also be asur. Right? It should also be asur. Against what Rava just said. So the Gemara says, no, hani mili be'enei, aval alide tarovet, lo. So the Gemara gives the answer and says, the Gemara gives the answer and says, that's when it's in its be'enei, that's when it's in its pure form. Let's go to Rashi, says, va'afilu shehiya be'enei va'avar alea lo kanis lemeser tarovet delay. Yeah, it goes back and says, no, actually, Rabbi Shimon, the Knas was only for Chametz Gamor. It was not for Chametz Tarovet, because that was only Asur Midarabanan, so he didn't make the Gzera. So, it's, you know, we might have thought that they made that Gzera, but they don't. Now, the Achronim point out that there are two different kinds of Tarovet that you have. This is what Ilan was talking about, I think. If I buy bread before Pesach, and then I keep it in my house, and then after Pesach I take out the bread and I mix it up in a fruit salad, right? Or I mix it up in something, right?
I was even saying by accident.
So that
you had bread on the top of your fridge, you didn't even notice,
right?
You never saw
good
it.
Yes,
right? You took it, perfect, a piece fell out into a fruit salad,
bread crumbs.
Perfect, yeah. Perfect. Usher. Asur if it's no sin tam. If it's no sin tam, it's asur because the chametz had the iser of bal yirah bal yimatzeh. You were not allowed to own it on Pesach, which means it was asur midaraita. It is subject to the knas of the rabbis. Even though now it's a tarovet, it itself was subject to the knas of the rabbis.
How could you own it?
It was in your house and you never gave it up.
But you did.
Why? Because you said Chol Chamira v'Chamia? So they're...
You sold it to the Rabbanut.
So they're talking about when you didn't do that. They're talking about when you didn't
not
do that.
Not everybody does that.
If you find
Chamira... Not everybody sells it.
No, but I'll give you an example of what's happened. I mean, you didn't sell it. I once came to you when we were living in South Africa. We came here. Right? I completely forgot to sell Muhammad. Uh-huh. Completely forgot. Forgot to do it there, whatever. I came here, they said, no, you must do that. I didn't do it. Before email and internet and everything. So I came back and I phoned John in. He says, throw it all out.
Uh-huh.
All your chametz gemur, your pasta, whatever, throw it out. And all your tarovet, you're okay with.
When you say kol chamira v'chamia, right, so it's a little bit of a stretch. I'm not saying it doesn't work. But to cover the loaf of bread that's sitting in your office...
Aren't you covered by the Kol Chamir, by the way?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're not covered by it.
You're covered by selling the Chamir.
But it's a little bit more of a stretch, and it could be that this is a time when they didn't say Kol Chamir.
In a B'diavad situation.
Or you might not have been thinking about it.
You said it, you've got to get rid of it afterwards.
Yeah, because it's not yours.
When you write down the location of the Chamir.
But it's no, but it's Hefker. It's Hefker at that point, so you could keep it, theoretically.
In a B'diavad situation,
your home, your vacation, your
home. Covered by the rabbis, Kol Chamir. Would the rabbis say Kol Chamir for something?
You can't get rid of your chametz for you. No. He can do an Erev Tavshilim for you, but he can't do a Chamira, Kol Chamir
and Chamir. We had a lot of chametz. We had a God in our complex, and it was like Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was waiting all year for Erev Pesach.
How much whiskey? There's quite a bit of whiskey, isn't it? Yeah, bottles. It's going to hurt. I didn't have 50 bottles, but I had 3 or 4 bottles.
Well, you know what they started doing? I don't know if Rabbi Beller ever did it here, but the rabbi in Brooklyn, Rabbi Goldstein, he used to do, or was it Rabbi Toker already? He brought Angel around.
He came to my house.
He came to your house.
He says, we had a Puerto Rican caretaker in the shul, and the rabbi knocked on my door. He says, Angel is here, he wants to see his chametz.
During Pesach.
I said, here's the cabinet, help yourself. And he opened it up and saw what was there.
Did he take anything?
I said, you're welcome to take whatever you want. So the rabbi said, can he take his stuff or your stuff? I said, it's not mine, it's his. He can take whatever he wants. And later the rabbi said to me, we had an arrangement that when he buys back the chametz,
he has to pay for it.
Also, the rabbi pays him for the service. He tips him for this.
Right.
So if he starts eating some of the stuff that's in people's cabinet, that's going to affect how much of a remuneration he gets after Pesach. So he comes and takes a look at it. Yeah, I check it out. Very nice. And he closes the cabinet back up.
This is being done a lot in the States now. I've heard a bunch of this.
This is worth
this is a whole other shit, right?
I've heard a lot about this. They do this a lot now, the rabbis, in America at least. I don't know, in other places that they do.
For what? For tasting?
To impress upon people that they've really sold their chametz.
That's not my chametz.
That people don't feel it's a joke. It's not a joke.
Angel wants to see exactly where his chametz is. Which cabinet is it?
So, where were we? Yeah, so if that was the case, that you had actual chametz on Pesach, even if it became a tarovet after Pesach, or even if it became a tarovet on Pesach, even if it became a tarovet on Pesach, it would still be asur after Pesach, but no same time. However, if you had chametz that was a tarovet at the onset of Pesach, if you had chocolate bars that had chametz in them that you had also forgotten to sell, right, and they stayed in your house, that would be mutar after Pesach. It would be asur, but no same time, but it would be mutar in anything less than that. Sorry, it would be mutar legamre. It would be mutar legamre. But mutar legamre, even minos in time, it would be mutar legamre. Because it's not covered by the knas of Rabbi Shimon. So it would be mutar legamre. So that tells you that any tarovet chametz that you have after Pesach, if you discover that you didn't sell it, you didn't get rid of it, mutar legamre. That's Rav. And this is Rava actually followed this. The Amar Rava ki aven and beirav Nachman ki havu nafke shiva yomi de pischa amalan poku vizvinu chamira dimnei chela. Now this is an interesting thing. It says that Rava, he actually did this because one time he was in the house of Rav Nachman And Rav Nachman, on the after the seventh day of Pesach, meaning right on Motzei Yontif, he did what you do. He said, everybody go out and get some bread from the non-Jewish bakery. Everybody, right away, go out and get some bread from the non-Jewish bakery. What was it supposed to signify? It was supposed to signify that even though the Chametz had existed on Pesach, there was no gzeirah against it after Pesach, because it didn't have Balirai Balimatzeh. The Chametz that existed on Pesach was allowed to be eaten immediately after Pesach. Now, there's a bunch of questions about this last part. What? Good, that's one of the questions.
What was the question?
He went to a non-Jewish bakery. So for that, there's a few answers. One answer is that it's a professional bakery. So it's not Pasakum, it's Paspalter.
There were people in Russia who used to keep money in their lockers.
Another possibility is that it was a Jew that prepared the dough before Pesach, and that's why it was okay.
There were a number of people in our shul in Brooklyn who kept money in their lockers, and as soon as they finished they went across the street and bought beer. Pizza Nash wasn't open right away.
Pizza Nash was open right. Well, not right
not
away.
Not right away.
Within an hour.
I'm talking you. We may have Dullah and Shul, and they ran right across the street.
Before I get to my next point, the other interesting thing over here is that Rav Nachman lived in Bavel. So apropos of the rabbi's shir today, shir on Shabbos, he lived in Bavel. He should be telling them at the eighth day of Pesach. The Chassam Sofer talks about this. He addresses this issue, and the Chassam Sofer explains and says that apparently he lived close enough in Bavel that they could reach him, and he brings a proof that on the 11th day of Tishrei he got a messenger from Yerushalayim. I forget exactly the Gemara, but he proved that even though Rav Nachman lived in Bavel, they kept one day because they were close enough that they could get the messengers on that day. It's very interesting.
They live near the border.
Yeah.
So pretty slow. Can you like today how you could get a message across easily within a day?
In those days, that was what the shir was about on Shabbos. The last point that I want to make is that in Detroit, apparently it's common knowledge, not so common for my sister-in-law, there's a 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts. I think it's 24 hours. Yeah, 24-hour kosher Dunkin' Donuts. All Dunkin' Donuts are basically owned by Pakistani.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big Pakistani chain, but you have a ton of kosher Dunkin' Donuts in Brooklyn, and you have this one kosher Dunkin' Donuts in Detroit that everybody goes to, all the Jews go to, but obviously not on Pesach. So my sister-in-law went there right after Pesach, and like, you know, 20, it's non-Jews. Non-Jews are operating it, so of course there's donuts right away. It's not like Pizza Nash, not like a kosher store. It just happens to be kosher. So she went there like 10 minutes after Pesach, and the place was empty. And she's like sending text messages like WhatsApp, Facebook, like, I can't believe it, this place is empty. And then someone messages her, yeah, you're not supposed to go for an hour after Pesach. Why? Because Rabbi Daniel Neustadt paskened that because they are preparing the donuts for the Jews on Pesach, so you're not supposed to go until it's Kadesh Yasu, until there's time that they could have made these donuts after Pesach. Now this Gemara seems to directly contradict that, because Rav Nachman said, no, Pesach is over, go right now. Mm-hmm. There is no problem. The Chassam Sofer makes this point. He says, it's clear from here that there is no problem with going to a non-Jewish bakery right after Pesach and eating the chametz, because even if it was prepared on Pesach, that donut was, that pizza pie was sitting there 5 minutes before Tseis HaKokavim. It was asur to you. Now, Mutar.
Sure, they weren't making only for Jews.
Good. So actually that's his point. So Rabbi Neustadt, so that's where I think Rabbi Neustadt differs from what the Gemara is saying, because the Gemara is not assuming that you have this non-Jewish bakery that is, you know, that stood there all day on the seventh day of Pesach, you know, churning out bagels for the Jews who are going to come.
Yes.
You have to assume, I assume. But I don't know if that's a fair assumption.
And if he was.
But, oh, good. So Rabbi Neustadt says that's what they're doing in Dunkin' Donuts. They know that the Jews are going to show up in droves on Motzei Shabbos, on Motzei Yom Tov. So they're cooking and cooking and cooking and cooking. It's not Alts Pesach that there's a problem. It's Alts Yom Tov that there's a problem. It means that the non-Jews are doing malacha on Yom Tov for the Jews, which is its own separate issue, and that's why there's a Kadesh Yasa.
It's not only for Jews.
So he claims that it's overwhelmingly for Jews. Because it's Motzei Pesach.
But what about the fact that it's actually might be Malacha that's Motzei and Yom Tov?
The fact that even though it's a
good point,
he's been open the entire week of Pesach.
But it's not really Mutter. in that sense.
Because
they're non-Jews and they're like cooking. Cooking is not mutter on Yom Tov. It's mutter lo'achal nefesh. That's why you need nefesh. You can't cook for no reason. Can't cook for Sunday. You can't. It's exactly what you can't do. They're doing exactly what you can't do. They're cooking for motzi Yom. Even I don't even think we have to go that far. But that's his claim. I don't know whether he's right. I don't know. But that's the minhag. The minhag is nobody shows up for an hour.
They're not kosher by green in Yafa, which closes on Pesach. Abul Afia closes on Pesach. Only opens an hour after Pesach. You must see the queue stretching in Abu Lafia in Tel Aviv, in Yafo.
So that's his claim is that you can't go for until Kadesh Yassim. But I just thought it was interesting because this Gemara directly contradicts that. But it could be that he's talking more about Al Yom Tov than he is about Isser Chametz and Pesach. Good? All right. Let's go to the videotape. Let's go to the sources.
Yeah, you may remember that there was a store that lost its certification, its kosher certification, because they spotted the owner inside the store hours before Pesach was over.
Oh, yeah?
And he was working in the store, and he lost the certification, obviously.
Yeah, in London, the London-based thing, keep the keys.
I had
it. Every Shabbos. Oh. Keep the keys of the kosher, which is the bakeries, and the showman has to go and open it.
You're assuming that there's no other key, no other copy of a key, right?
No, it was a KLBD sticker over the
door. Oh,
We had it. We had it. We lived in the first place in the Kiryat Ono where we lived.
So
in Israel, it was next to a bakery, and they started the noontime.
They started a little too early. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Danny, based on the Rav Shira on Shabbat, I mean, there might also be an issue on the day off the Pesach in Rana.
You're saying for Jews to cook for other Jews?
Because we said the eighth day.
So we might need 2 days in Ranana.
You know, by the way, an interesting point I made to him after the shir is that if you follow it to the logical conclusion, it's not just that we have to keep 8 days in Ranana. It's not that you can run to Yerushalayim and keep 1 day. You can't because you're a resident of Ranana.
Correct.
You would have to keep 2 days in Yerushalayim as well.
Like an American.
It wouldn't help. Just like an American, exactly. Yeah.
Like a foreigner.
It wouldn't help. If you could live, you would live, for those who live in Mea Shearim, they can't get out of keeping 2 days. They can't like go to, unless they go all three regalim, right? You could do all three regalim. You say, I'm going to go to Yerushalayim for all three regalim. And then the Nehru Shalom Zalman Orbach to rely on for sure. That you could keep 1 day there. But that's an interesting point. There are Charedim and Mea Shearim who keep 2 days because it was uninhabited. It was uninhabited during the time of Second Beit HaMikdash. It was fallow. There are some, briskers.
I have a question from
in Bnei Brak as well.
I'm diverging for a second. The only thing I had a question is, if you lived in that time in Akko, right?
Yeah.
That was obviously fine because it was clearly an issue.
Or even though it was further away, yeah.
Right, but clearly the path, there are two there.
Yeah.
Anyone would also know, even if it wasn't inhabited. So you could probably rely on the fact that someone went...
You're saying as they were passing through there, they weren't. It wasn't like they immediately started keeping 2 days. I hear you. I think the whole thing, it's a little bit unreasonable. Even though the Rambam does seem to say it, it's a little bit unreasonable.
What do you do if you go to Chutzlaret? Like, friends are going to Chutzlaret. Do they keep...
It's a different subject.
So you keep 1 day.
It's a very long subject. That's what the rabbi was talking about on Shabbos. But of course, they keep 2 days. That's almost it's less in dispute than the subject of how many days to keep when you come to Israel. The amount of days that you keep in Chutz La'aretz is clear, as opposed to the amount of days that you keep in Eretz Israel. But as the rabbi pointed out, most Israelis don't know that because they kind of I don't know.
And my sister.
They just don't know.
For example, keep
it's the Olim who know that if they go back to Chutz La'aretz, they need to keep 2 days. At least they ask the question.
My sister's living in America.
The Israelis, they'd never heard of 2 days. That's why. They'd never even heard of it. When I was working at HP, I mean, she was Chiloni, but my boss, who was Chiloni, we had one worker who was in the Ukraine. He was a Lubavitch Chassid. He eventually made Aliyah. But while he was still in the Ukraine, I remember I came in on the eighth day, you know, on Isru Chag of Pesach, and we were having a scrum. We were having a meeting. And she was expecting him to be there, and I didn't really make any connection. And at first she said, "Oh, why is Avigdor not here?" I said, "Oh, I'm not sure." And I said, "Oh, because it's Pesach for him." She's looking at me like I'm crazy. What are you talking about?
I
Pesach is over yesterday. I said,
"It says 7 days."
I'm not. Trust me. It's okay that he's not here. You just have to trust me. It's second day of Pesach.
Trust the rabbi.
It's eighth day of Pesach. She's like, darn, 8 days. Everybody knows that. They don't know. They don't even know.
My sister keeps 7 days.
So it's not surprising. I mean, that's chiloni. I assume datim know that there's a... I assume datim know that there's a... You don't have to say it. Okay, let's continue. So if we turn to Lamed Amud Aleph, so take a look at what Rashi says. Take a look at what Rashi says at the top. Okay? Now recall, there are three shitot here. There are three shot, and then there's the final halacha. Shita Rishona was Rav, who was the most machmir. He says everything is asur b'mashu on Pesach. And after Pesach, chametz b'min b'mino is asur, even b'mashu. And then there was Shmuel, who took it down a notch. And then there was Rabbi Yochanan, who took it all the way down and said, it's never more than no same time. Good? Those are the three shitot. Rava changed the halacha. Establishes the halacha as a kind of a mix. Take a look at the first Rashi on the page. Amar Rava Hilchasa. Okay? Shma minoah, the pasak Rava Hilchasa, the kol isurin sheba Torah, b'minan b'mashehu. V'lo shanilan ben chamet l'shar isurei. What did Rashi just say? Rashi just said that what Rava says here is his general position throughout the Torah. Namely, that Rava apparently paskins like Rav across the board. That min b'mino, according to Rava and Rav, but it's more important that it's according to Rava because he's later and much more important. According to Rava, min b'mino is asur b'mashu across the board. Okay? That means that if you have treif chicken with non-treif chicken, it's asur b'mashu. That's what that means. It's clear that's what Rashi says. And Rashi bases it on this statement. Now, do you think it's a convincing statement? Amar Rava hilchas achamitz b'zmano bein b'mino bein shlo b'mino asur b'mashu kirav. You find that, is that how you would have read the statement? So it's a little bit tricky. On the one hand, Rava does say this about chametz. Can I have the real spray? On the other hand, what's the deal with him saying kirav? Why doesn't he just say that's the halacha because that's the halacha? Unless he's only saying kirav about the gzera, because Shmuel also agrees that min b'mino is asur b'mashu. He just didn't agree that there was a gzera for min b'sheino mino. And maybe that's why Rava says kirav, only for the gzera. But either way, that's in the Rishonim, we're now talking about the Rishonim, that's position number one. There are going to be at least four positions that we're going to deal with. Not really, three positions, let's say. Okay, that's the most machmir position, because it says what's true on Pesach is true all year round for other things.
Even though the punishment is so different.
Yeah, the punishment is irrelevant, because... For Rav, the punishment was irrelevant for Min B'mino. We're only interested in Min B'mino right now. Mm-hmm. For Rav, Min B'mino is Asur across the board. For Rava, apparently, according to Rashi, the same is true. Almost everybody disagrees. Take a look at Tosos on the left side. Amar Rava, Hilchas Achamitz Bezmano Bino Bein Shlomino Asur B'Kol Shu Kerav, Pasak Rashi B'chulin, also here, the Min B'mino B'mashu K'Rebi Yehuda. The Amar Per Kalabasar, Min B'mino Lobatil, Rashi says, we pass in like Rabbi Huda, we pass in like Rabbi Huda Nasi, that min b'mino is asur b'mashu across the board. That's how Rashi paskins. However, we'll skip past this. Vode viraya. Let's just get to the part where he starts to disagree. If you jump down to Verabenu Tam, okay, the first words on the line are Verabenu Tam. It's like...
right across from the line in the margin.
Yeah?
There's a line in the margin.
So okay, right, very good. So, Rabbeinu Tam Omer, Rashi brings a few more proofs, or Tosos brings a few more proofs for Rashi, but then Rabbeinu Tam Omer, the kol elu einam rayot, none of these are proofs. The ein halacha gloka Rabbi Huda, gloka Rabbi, the halacha is not like this. V'hai deperek batra, the masechet of Odezara, plukta da abaye v'rava, matzi lememar dechamira, v'chala detevel v'yai nesech, the only places where this is true is in Avodah Zarah, which is not surprising. Yayin Nesach is Asur B'Mashu, fine. We can all get on board with that. It's Avodah Zarah. Tevel also. Tevel is non-tithed produce. It's very, very severe. Okay, fine. That even Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish agrees Asur B'Mashu.
Then we're going We're saying that Pesach is more severe than Tevel and Yain Nesach?
No. Tevel and Yain Nesach, everybody agrees is Aser B'Mashu. Everybody agrees it's Aser B'Mashu in almost all circumstances. It's Avodah Zarah, Yain Nesach, it's Avodah Zarah. Aser B'Mashu, most severe thing you could have. Tevel as well, very, very severe. Rabbeinu Tam is saying that, forget Chametz for a second. Forget Chametz for a second. Forget Chametz.
Do you have Karis on Tevel
No. But it's very severe. Just because it's a different punishment doesn't mean that it's any less severe. Contrary to what we talked about last night. Now, forget about Chametz for a second. We're just talking about regular Isurim now. So Tevel and Yain Nesach, fine, Aser B'Mashu. But Rabbeinu Tam says, but that's not true of chicken, of treif chicken and kosher chicken. As he's going to, that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish are right. Okay, so now, how do you read our Gemara? Getting to Joe's point. Udashmaita Igar Sinan B'Mashu Kirav. Let's say we read the Gemara as it's written in front of us. It says, B'Mashu Kirav. That's what it says in front in our Gemara, right? Mm-hmm. That's the version. Mm-hmm. So he says, Yesh Omer, Shaposik, Bechameitz, Kirav, Velomitame de Rav. He agrees with Rav, but not for the same reason that Rav said it. Okay? He paskins like Rav, but not because he agrees with him in principle. The Sfirle, Bekol Yisun Shabbatar, Bemino, Bemashu, that's what Rav thinks. But Rav, Alele, Eladavka, Bechameitz, Bepesach, Mishum, Chumr de Chameitz. This is the key line. This is Rabbeinu Tam. This is the Rabbeinu Tam in the Ashkenazi tradition says, why does Rav paskin like Rav here? For one reason and one reason only. Chumr de chametz, because chametz is so bad. Similar to Yayin Nesach and to Tevel, chametz is really bad. But treif chicken and regular chicken, not as bad. The Gam Rabbi Yehudai Gaon Pasakain, that's our Rabbi the Gaonim that Paskin as well. The Dafka b'chametz Pasak Rav, Kirav, that only here did Rav Paskin like Rav. The Shalom Mikamei, Kol Yisur and Shabbatorah, the Shalom Mikamei, Kol Yisrin Shabbatar B'Mashu Kirav Abanos In Tam Kirav Yehuda V'Heishin Midamar Rav Achametz Bezman Ben Mina Ben Shalom Mina B'Mashu Im Kain Baha Miu Halacha Kirav B'Mashu Aval Beshar Yisrin Benot In Tam Kirav Yochanan Ukarish Lakish. Okay, basically, bottom line, according to almost all Rishonim and the way that we paskin Halacha, Min B'Mino is not Asur B'Mashu. In fact, it may be that in most cases, it's only Asur Barov.
You're talking about on Pesach.
No. On Pesach, everybody agrees it's Asur B'Mashu.
We're not even saying it's Asur B'Mashu.
Many say that it goes in the exact opposite direction. In other words, Rav, and this can get confusing, Rav said Min B'Mino is really bad because, like Joe said, probably because you can't, not Joe, you weren't even here, like Pinchas said, because you can't distinguish, right? So you can't tell the difference because they basically both taste the same, so it's kind of hard to say that it's Bata, right? So many say the exact opposite. Because it's like that, you can't taste it at all, and so it's only Asur if it's Rav. It's only Asur if you can actually classify this piece of food as being mostly not kosher. But if it's mostly kosher, then it's fine. The only place where you use notein tam is where they're talking about two different tastes. And when you eat the food, you can taste the non-kosher food, you know, in the mixture. And therefore, it feels like you're eating pork. It feels like you're eating something not kosher. That's when you can worry about Nosin Tam. So it goes exactly in the opposite direction from Rav Yehuda. Okay?
Nosin Tam is the most on the scale of like the
it's in between. There's Mashu, which is the most severe. Mashu means just even a speck.
Yeah.
There's Notin Tam, which means that you can taste it. And then there's Rov, which just for reference sake, Kitniot on Pesach is Batel Berov. Even Mishenom, you know. That means that if it's 51%
non-kitniot,
it's going to be mutar.
That's why most people say they're an ochli kitniot.
No. I mean, well, to create the mixture, no. to eat it once it's made. That's why we're allowed to eat in Sephardi homes. That's why Ashkenazim are allowed to eat in Sephardi homes, even though there's kitniot in their food. Unless you can actually see it, then it's not batel. Like rice, you cannot eat rice even if it's mixed up in your salad because you can see it.
But you can't eat in an Ashkenazi home if it's kitniot.
If they did it on purpose,
yeah.
Well, it depends. If it's only usher for them, it's definitely usher for them. Whether it's usher for you is questionable. Bita lechatchila for someone else. If they did it unwittingly.
Let's say, look at my sister.
No, but when is it?
My sister is not interested in kidney.
Right. Right.
I asked you this once before.
Right.
And you go there, right? And she's not worried about
it. Right, so she,
can you eat it? No, I'm not saying she's Ras, but is it an issue?
No, because she made it for you.
You gave me a slightly different. You said no because she made it.
She made it for you.
No, she made it not only for you, she made it for
but
her.
But she made it for you also.
Okay, and therefore.
So she was Mevatel Chatchila for you. Okay. If you told me that she made it already, for her family, and then you drop by for a surprise visit, then I could think that it would be okay. This is similar to when you have, let's say, a non-kosher ingredient that's batel in something that was manufactured, right? You can presume it wasn't made for you, right? So that can sometimes be relied upon. Not everybody agrees with that. If you're in a Sephardi home,
no, again, it's the same thing. If they made it for themselves...
It's a good question why that's more okay, but it definitely is. Meaning,
what?
Everybody knows that...
If I went to my neighbor, whatever.
Even if he made it for you, it would still be fine. Everybody agrees about that. I think the answer is because she's Ashkenazi, so she shouldn't be doing it.
Who?
And he's Sephardi, so there's no problem with him doing it. So it's hard to call it bita lechatchila if it's perfectly fine for him to do it.
It was made in a state
of the problem isn't the actual cooking.
It is. He did something that he shouldn't have done.
It's not he doesn't try his thing. It's his actual eating that's the problem.
Wait, who are we talking about now?
An Ashkenazi person.
So there is a problem. He did something he shouldn't have done. He did something he shouldn't have done.
And this kidney. There's no question that on that. Oh, well, Shabbat, so you wouldn't be able to, in any case, cook. Okay.
Anyway, a regular Ashkenazi Jew does something he shouldn't have done. So if he did it for you, for sure, you can't eat it. But if it's a Sephardi Jew who does it, there's no problem with him cooking with kidneyot for himself, for other people.
Has he got a problem cooking kidneyot on Pesach?
No, he doesn't. But if he's doing it so that he can eat it on Pesach, that's a different story. Okay. Everything always gets back to kidneyot. Now, to clarify, so let's disregard Rashi for a second because the halakha is not like Rashi. Everybody agrees with that. The halakha is not like Rashi in general. But that leaves, because according to Rashi, there's nothing anomalous about the fact that a chametz is aser b'mashu on Pesach. There's nothing surprising about it. It's aser b'mashu on Pesach because min b'mino, it was by default aser. And min b'she'eno mino is Rav's gzeira on that, because it was anyway it's going to be aser, right? But we agree with the halacha, but not for the same reason. So Rabbeinu Tam says the reason is because what's the reason why it's aser b'mashu on Pesach? Just
chumrah
de Pesach. And that would probably explain both min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino, because there's no difference. And in fact, we're more mikel on min b'mino than we are on min b'she'eno mino. So we erase the difference between min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino on Pesach, and we just say it's aser b'mashu on Pesach because Pesach is very scary. B'dilei minei, Pesach is really scary. We are always machmir on Pesach. We're scared. Okay, take a look at the Rambam on your sheets.
We don't have a sheet yet.
I apologize.
On your sheets.
Paying attention. So this Rambam is typical of many of the Sephardi Rishonim, as well as the school of the Ramban, even though they have nothing to do with each other, really. The Rambam says, Chameit shnit arev b'davar acher toch ha-Pesach, bein b'mino, bein b'shol mino, hareza oser b'kol shehu. Okay, so far so good. V'chameit shel Yisrael shavar alav ha-Pesach, af b'shu asur b'hanaya, im nit arev bein b'mino, bein b'shol mino, hareza mutar loch lo achar ha-Pesach. Also, so far so good. This is Rava, right? On Pesach, after Pesach, Mutter Lagamre. Itarovet. Shelo kansuva su ela bechametz atzmo, avol tarovet mutaret u bachila lachar pesach. Okay, so far so good. He explained everything. Now look at the next one. Chametz bePesach af bishu misuri Torah einan bechlalot elu, levisha ein tarovet asura leolam, shari lachar pesach tiakol tarovet mutaret kmo shebiarnu lefichach, osu bekol shu bein bemino bein shlob mino. The Rambam just explained why it's asur b'mashehu on Pesach, and what's the explanation? Lefi she'ein hatarovet asura l'olam. Anybody know what the halachic medical term for that is? It's called davar she'yesh lo matirin. Davar she'yesh lo matirin means that chametz is something which has an isur, which is dependent on something. In fact, it's dependent on time. It's asur now, but it won't be asur later. Chametz in general, it's asur now, but chametz is not asur after Pesach. Because of that, there can be no bittul. Davar sheyesh lo matirin, eino batel afilu ba'elef. What's another example of this? Tevel is another example of this. Tevel is not batel. Is the real reason why Tevel is not Batel. Because all you have to do to fix it is take Trumot and Masrot. So it's not Batel, not because it's so Chamur, but because just take Trumot and Masrot. The rabbis say you can't be Mevatel something that's so easy to fix. Just fix or just wait. Okay? Also, I believe they say Chadash. Chadash is also an example of that. Chadash is not Batel, because all you have to do is wait until Tet Zayin Nisan, and then it'll be fine.
What about Chala?
Chala, also. Not Batel. All you have to do is fix it. That's all. So the rabbis say, because all you have to do is fix it, it's going to be Asur B'mashu. According to Rambam, that's the reason why Chametz is Asur B'mashu on Pesach. Because all you really have to do is wait until after Pesach, and then it will be Mutar. There's a few problems with this, but that's the Rambam's Shita, and it's many of the Rishonim's Shita. Take a look at the Chidush HaRitva. He explains this. Amar Rav HaHilchos HaChametz B'Zman Oben Mishnei Mina Oben Shalom Mina Asur. B'Katav HaRitzal. This is not obviously not the Ritva himself, because he wouldn't be calling himself the Rit. The Ritva from Spain. D'lo Garsin B'Mashu Kerav. He didn't actually have the Girsa of Mashu Kerav. By the way, it makes a big difference. If you take out the word Kerav, right, then Rava is just speaking for himself. Mm-hmm. But fine. Upaskar benatam vera benu zrachia. That's the Balamor. The Rava b'shishim kamar kerav Yochanan dahachi sfer le b'shari surin. Aval Rabino afasi v'chol agonim zal pirshu the Rava b'mashu kamar v'chein yichri haramban. Let's just keep going. Yesh lomar in the underlined part. The machmir b'chametz mishum dekol davar sheyesh lo matirin. Afilu be'elef lo batil b'mino miha v'gazar sheino b'mino atu mino kerav. So he actually makes it more particular, and he says it's only b'mino that adavar sheyesh lo matirin is never batel, and then they make an extra gzera of sheino mino. I don't think everybody agrees with that, but v'chametz din Torah libe. Okay, so good. So it's clear you have two options why chametz is more chamor than everything else. More chamur than, let's say, treif chicken, amongst kosher chicken. One is what Rabbi Natan said, which is chumr de Pesach. We're more machmir on Pesach. And the other is what the Rambam says, which is that it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. According to both of these shitot, the isur of chametz b'mashu is only midrabanan. It's only on Pesach, and it's only midrabanan. According to Rashi, the isur mashu is midaraita, because he thinks that that's true across the board. According to Rabbeinu Tam, and according to the Rambam, for two distinct reasons, it's only Asur B'mashu, the Chumr, the Pesach, that Rabbeinu Tam is talking about, has to only be Midar Rabbanan. We're not going to say that it's Midar Raita. And the Rambam Shita of Dabar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is also, I can tell you, only Midar Rabbanan. The rabbis made that up. Okay? Now, the Mordechai disagrees with the Rambam. He says, you can't say davar sheyesh matirin for chametz on Pesach. It's Yom Rishon Shel Pesach. You have a nice piece of fresh bread. There's no refrigeration. Okay? What are you going to do? You're going to wait 7 days until it's mutar?
there's the same issue as I said with challah. With the challah also, there would be challah live there. It's only available to me challah for a short amount of time, and they'll go hard.
So do it though. So do it.
Right.
You could do it now. With chametz though, there's nothing you could do. You can't do anything for 7 days. It's going to get ruined. So he says you can't say davar sheish lo matirin when it will be ruined if you would wait. And he says also, by the way, what about, you guys didn't say it, but what's the bigger problem with this? The Rambam says don't be mevatel the chametz now on Pesach because you could just wait till after Pesach and then it'll be mutar. What's the problem?
You're only chametz.
And therefore, it's chametz shabbat olav bezach. It's not mutar. It's not mutar. He says it's davar chozer l'isuro me'ilav. Kigon chametz shechozer. He actually says something different. He says chametz shechozer l'shana abah l'isuro l'shayach lomar davar sheishu matirin koshkin davar shein ba'ein kiim tam bama. He says also, by the way, if you keep waiting, it will be yasser again.
While you're only focusing on the eating of the chametz, what about the other yisuro?
The possession.
Why is the Rambam okay with that?
With owning tarobet chametz, because it's mutar to own tarobet chametz. Midaraita, midarabana, it's aser, but midaraita, it's mutar.
Okay,
and it could be b'mashehu, and then it's mutar legamrei. It's everybody agrees if you have chametz b'mashehu, it's not going to be aser to own. Question is whether it's aser to eat. So the Rambam will say it's aser to eat because it's not batel. And the Rabbeinu Tam will say it's asher to eat because we're scared of Pesach. We're scared of chametz. Now, I think the answer, by the way, to the question of chametz shavu lava Pesach is that chametz shavu lava Pesach, according to the way we paskin, is only asher midrabanan, which means it's an interesting thing. That means that davar sheish lo matirin, but it's not really mutar because it's going to be asher midrabanan. It's still davar sheish lo matirin because it's like objectively it is mutar. Just happens to be that the rabbis added on a later gzeira.
You can be
made. You have to be machmer. It's more machmer. Because even though it's not going to really become mutar, it's asur anyways. But you know, we could even make it easier. What happens if you have non-Jewish chametz that falls into your soup? Okay? So there, chametz shavu lava Pesach is not something you have to worry about because it's not yours. Okay, but it's still going to be aser b'mashu on Pesach because the Rambam says, just wait, and it'll be mutter. Wait till after Pesach, and it'll be mutter. Good, that's the Mordechai. Last shita of the Rishonim is the Rabbeinu David. It's not a different shita; he's just rehashing. Hatam shamar b'davi sheish l'matirin shafil belaf l'batel hu mivnei shalom reu chachamim l'vatel at ha'asirin ela mivnei shechasu al mamonon shal Yisrael shalei yilech li'ibud. He said the rabbis invented bittel; they allow bittel. When you're going to lose money, they say, you know, I have this food. Non-kosher food fell into my food. It's tarofet. What am I going to do? Throw it out? So he said, that's true most of the time when you're going to have to throw it out. But here you don't have to throw it out. The only reason why rabbis allow bittel is because you're going to lose money. But if you're not going to lose money, then they don't allow it. But he says chametz should not be included in this because chametz, you do have to destroy it. You do have to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't eat it, then you have to destroy it.
Yeah.
So he seems to disagree with the idea of a davar sheish lo matirin. Okay. We are going to go into nafkaminas between these two shitot, between Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. There are a lot. But before we do that, I do want to show you one other position. It's a different position. I don't know if this is, you'll judge it for yourself. This is a famous Radbaz, probably one of the most famous Radbazes, Shimon ben Tzemach Duran. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. No, that's not right. Rabbeinu David ben Zimra, late Rishon, and he says as follows. We're going to read the question and the answer, the whole thing. Shalta mimeni, odiyach adati, manishtana chametz bepesach mikal isurin shebetorah. שהחמיר עליו תורה להצריכו בדיקה וסירוף וקלה וגם ביטול והוסיפו חכמים להצריכו בדיקה. Why is חמץ so חמור? We have to get rid of it. We have to do a בדיקה. We have to burn it. ביטול doesn't work. והוסיפו חכמים להצריכו בדיקה בחורינו בסטוק, and you have to look for it in holes. לחפץ אחר רב לו שריש אותו מכל גבוליו ועבר עליו בל יראה ובל ימצא. There's two separate איסורים not to own it. ואסור בכל שהוא. It's also בכל שהוא. ואין מתבטל כלל. What's the deal with חמץ? Why is it so chamur? The Radbaz asks. Second. Why is it so chamur? V'chumot keilu lo nimtzu b'kol yisurin shabatorah. You don't find these kinds of chumot anywhere in the entire Torah. The imishum dit be'karei tari chaylev adam. He points out that if you tell me it's because of chareit, then you have chaylev and dam. This is what Rashi said, right? So you have chaylev and dam are also chareit. And if you tell me d'lo badil mine, like Rashi said, then what about yayin l'nazir d'lo badil mine v'chadash d'lo badil mina tvua kula shata v'lo chamir kulehai? What about other things that people are used to, like a nazir with wine? Why don't we say nazir with wine is aser b'kol shu, because he's used to drinking wine. Okay? And in 29 days he'll be able to drink wine. So the first answer is going to be obvious. What's his first answer going to be? Should be obvious. What did he say? He said, why are we so chamur on Pesach? After all, you can find the elements that, you know, that are so chamur about Pesach, you can find them in other things, but we're not so machmir in those other things. So what's he going to answer? Okay, so if I say it sharper, I think what you're saying is you don't have both factors when it comes to chaylev and dam. And you don't have both factors when it comes to chadash or nazir. Right? That's his first answer. Achat shelo nimtzu b'chol yisurin shebetorah sheyitzdar for b'chol gimel tanaim. I didn't catch what the third one was. But all three of these things. Shehu yisuri hana'ah. V'hu b'karit v'lo b'dili en sheminei. You don't have anywhere else. You don't have any other yisurim in the Torah that are asur b'achila, asur b'hana'ah, and have karit, and people are used to eating it. You don't have all three of those factors. Once you have all three of those factors, that explains why the rabbis are so, so machmir, and why the Torah is so, so machmir on it. Since the Torah saw, and the rabbis saw, that it's got all three of these factors, therefore they were machmir. That's answer number one. Okay? It's kind of a modified version of Rashi. Answer number two, he picks the Rambam. Fine. Now jump to the bottom of the page. You see the bottom of the page that I underlined? That explains that it's not batel. But what about all this other stuff that we find? That you have to search after it, that you're not allowed to own it? Where else in the Torah do you have something you're not allowed to own? What's the deal with that?
I'm allowed to own dam.
Sure.
I'm allowed to own, of course.
And he says,
is there any other itzer where you're not allowed to, like lime or something like that?
Only one thing, as he's going to say. Gam al atam arishon yesh li ksat gimgum, umi adif mi avodah zarah, da'amar Torah lo yidabeg be'ad chamumah. You're not allowed to own avodah zarah. V'chol amod bo kekofer b'kol Torah kul, v'lo matzino sheyitzrich ha-Torah ba'abdika u'bitol. Even the thing that you're not allowed to own, you don't have to search for it. The Torah never says, go searching in every nook and cranny to make sure you don't have any Buddhas or any Ganeshas sitting around anywhere, right?
It's not analogous, because I obviously own Chametz all year long, and I don't own an Avodah Zarah all year long.
Fair enough.
So I don't have to go look for it, because I've never bought an Avodah Zarah.
Fair enough. Let's look at his answer, though. V'al kein, I'm jumping to the bolded part. Ani sameich al ma sh'amur razav midrashot ki chametz bepesach remez liyetzer hara. Who? Seor Shabisa. It's a Gemara in Brachos. Velachain, Kala Yagere, Shigare Shoto, Aladam, Yala, Vichapesla, Bekolamach, Voot, Machshivotav, Vafilu Koshulo Batil, Vareza, Emet Venachon, Vanira Lenitati Katapti. Last Shita, according to the Radbaz, the reason why Chametz is so bad is because it's the Yetzirah. So of course you have to search after it. On Pesach, Chametz is the Yetzirah. You have to look for it everywhere it could possibly be found. You have to get rid of it. It's not batel. It's not nothing. Got to get rid of it. Kabbalistic. I don't know, Kabbalistic. It's not Kabbalistic. It's philosophical. Philosophical. Chametz is representative of the Yetzer Hara in Pesach, and therefore it has to be searched after. It's fundamentally different from pork, from even Avodah Zarah. Even Avodah Zarah, it's different from that. Avodah Zarah is something specific. Chametz is broader. It's just evil. It's evilness, and it has to be rooted out wherever it is. Doesn't matter. All right? You can decide whether this is a halachic shita, whether it's different. It's very similar to Rabbeinu Tam, if you ask me, because Rabbeinu Tam could be saying something similar to that. In theory, I could see them lining up. Now, I told you there are nafkaminas. So let's take a look at them. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh mi shomer delo shayach davar sheyesh lo matirin hecha shamachal mitkalkel. Right, so first of all, I mean, the stakes are high, right? Because if we acknowledge that davar sheyesh lo matirin is the issue by chametz, then it means that in all cases where davar sheyesh lo matirin might apply, we don't care that the food will get ruined. It's still going to be davar sheyesh lo matirin and not batel. Okay? The Ramah comments and says, davar sheyesh lo heter v'chozer v'nesar kagon chametz pesach lo mikri davar sheyesh lo matirin. Be'esh chokin bazach. Yeah. So basically the Ramah seems to paskin like the Ashkenazi Rishonim, namely, that the problem with chametz on Pesach is not that it's davar sheyesh lo matirin, but it must be chumer de Pesach, because he doesn't think it's actually a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Mm-hmm. The Ramah doesn't think it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. In that, by the way, that's in Yoredeh. That wasn't even Hilchos Pesach. If we go to Hilchos Pesach, so the Shulchan Aruch says chametz Pesach oser v'taruvos or ben b'mino ben shlo b'mino b'mashu afilu b'hana'a. It's oser b'mashu if even b'hana'a. Yavish b'yavish, afal gav de b'shari yisurim chad b'trei batel, chametz b'matzah afilu b'elef lo batel, v'yishar min de chametz shav l'shari yisurim b'zeh. And even if it's yavish b'yavish, it's not, it's asur b'mashu. Okay? Now, the Magen Avraham comments and says, v'katav abach kli chametz shnit'arev b'acherim batel b'rov. If you have a kli
chametz
that is a chametz, and then you get mixed up with other kelim, okay? Don't do this at home. It's not good for shalom bayis. If one of your Pesach Kelim gets mixed up with one of your non-Pesach Kelim, what's the deal? What's the halacha? Batel b'rov. If you've got 10, even if 4 of them are chametz pats, take any you like, and you can use that on Pesach.
We had a question.
As long as you don't know the difference.
If you can't tell
right, the difference. Right, of course. Yeah. I mean, you can't just, yeah.
If they're all the same pots.
We have cutlery, which we
right.
Never use.
Good, cutlery.
Never use cutlery before.
Good.
And it's a simple, we use one set, we use it's the same, it's a box, another box of the same cutlery that we have, which we use every day. And we're allowed to use it for Pesach. We were worried, it's never been used, but we said, surely we can use it for...
I know. Good. So that's exactly the issue that we're dealing with. Now he says, the Bach says... it's only a problem of davar sheyesh lo matirin. He says mihu. That's it. So he says, however, if you hold the davar sheyesh lo matirin, then it's going to be a problem because you're just going to say, just wait till after Pesach and then you can use the kelim. You don't have to use that kli on Pesach. He quotes other achronim who say that. However, the Torah Chesed, we're going to see that in a second. Torah Chesed pasach the chametz lo mikir davar sheyesh matirin. See in a second. Hold on. Mikir davar sheyesh matirin. Kakas of a tour of Beis Yosef. V'chein nogin the imlokin af baal be'erev pesach lo yitbatel. We're going to get to that as well. Basically, the Magen Avraham end up saying that in theory, min hadin you can be mekel. However, he backs off and says mikol makom b'kli yesh lahachmer dahayish omrim daaf b'shar yitzurin lo batel. So you really shouldn't. You really shouldn't. Even though min hadin, it could be fine. So this is the first inkling we get that there might be a difference in the way that we paskin. Now we're going to end. I'm just going to do a brief overview of what the nafka minot are. This Sefer Torah Chesed, I've forgotten the name of the author. He has a whole bunch of nafka minas. Here I see 4. The first one is the most famous. Okay, we talked about chametz on Pesach. We talked about chametz after Pesach. What didn't we talk about? Chametz on Erev Pesach. Now, If you hold that the issue is davar sheyesh lo matirin, then is chametz batel b'mashu on Erev Pesach? If the problem with chametz is that it's davar sheyesh lo matirin, the reason why it's usually aser b'mashu on Pesach is because it's davar sheyesh lo matirin, then what do you say about Erev Pesach?
It's becoming becoming a sur in a few hours. So
no. I'm talking about, when I say Erev Pesach, I'm not talking about on today. I'm talking about exactly Friday afternoon after.
It's already
asur. It's already asur. It's asur. The question is whether it's asur b'mashu. It's asur. You can't eat chametz on Erev Pesach.
It must be asur b'mashu.
Why?
If you would.
It's waiting doesn't help
you. You have no redemption. It's not something that's going to become mutar. It's going to become.
It becomes a sword.
Won't it?
No. It's going to become mutar in a week.
Next week it'll be mutar.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Okay.
No, it doesn't get worse.
No, it gets worse. It gets worse. Because we'll see why it gets worse. But
it's going to become mutar in a 7 or 8 days.
In 7.5 days.
It doesn't matter if it gets worse.
What?
It doesn't matter that it gets worse.
No. 7.5 days, it'll be mutar. So even on Erev Pesach, it should be Aser B'mashu. What if it's because of Chumr de Pesach? Now, what do we mean by Chumr de Pesach? L'ch'ora, what we mean, what Rabbi Natan said, it's the Kares part. L'ch'ora. Which doesn't exist on Erev Pesach. It does get worse. On Erev Pesach, it's only an Iser Lav. On Pesach itself, it's an Iser Kares. So if the problem is that we're scared of chametz, we're not nearly as scared of chametz on Erev Pesach as we are on Pesach itself. So many of the Achronim say that it's not Aser B'mashu on Erev Pesach, according to that position.
But that was only one of the reasons that Tosfos gave.
What the Kares? You mean? He said chumra de Pesach. Bishum chumra de chametz. Chumra de chametz presumably means Kares. Whatever you pick about Chumr Dechametz presumably does not exist on Erev Pesach. It's not nearly as bad. So you could say that it's not Aser B'mashu on Erev Pesach. That's Nafkamina number one. Most of them are going to go this way. Nafkamina number two. Chametz Nuksha B'Pesach. What's Chametz Nuksha? Chametz Nuksha is Chametz that's been ruined. Okay? Things like... actually, not necessarily only ruined... But things
diluted
that have
whiskey.
Try that.
What?
Diluted whiskey.
Stale bread.
Stale bread. Stale bread. That would be a good example. There's two different kinds of chametz nuksha. I think that's the one he's talking about over here.
What about l'achilas kelef?
So let's say it is. It's roi l'achilas kelef. So that would be chametz nuksha. So kevin the in b'chumar kares. So it's not iser kares. It removes the level of kares, so you have the same calculus. There's no iser kares, so if it's chumr de chametz, then there's no problem. But if it's davar sheyesh lo matirin, it's still a problem because it'll still be mutter after Pesach. That's nafkamina number two. Nafkamina number three, tarovet yavish b'yavish. Basically the same thing. If you're worried about kares, it doesn't exist. If you're worried about davar sheyesh lo matirin, then it does exist. Okay. Last one that he mentions is suffik. What if you have a suffik of a mashu? In other words, you're not sure. Chametz might have fallen into this. Now, how are we going to deal with this? So he says, if...
On Pesach.
Suffik mashu b'chametz b'pesach. If you say that the reason is because of chumr de chametz, yesh lahakel b'sveiko, k'din suffik d'rabanan.
No. Why?
So a normal chametz, normal safik derabanan is lakula. Normal.
How right? Is this a safik derabanan if it's on Pesach?
It's a safik.
It's a safik
of a mashu. It's not a safik that you're eating bread. Oh. It's a safik of a mashu. So if the reason why you were machmir is just stam, a blanket iser derabanan because of chumr de Pesach, chumr de chametz, then you can go safik derabanan lahakel. However, one of the quirks of davar sheyesh lo matirin, while it is only an iser derabanan, is that sfeko asur. So he says, davar sheyesh lo matirin, af sfeka derabanan lechumra. Davar sheyesh lo matirin is so machmir, is so chamur. It's not chamur in the sense that it's bad, but it is so wide and broad that even if it's only a suffix, it's still going to be asur. It's a quirk in davar sheyesh lo matirin. All right. So we did a lot tonight, I think. Talked about at least three shitos in the Gemara. We saw at least three, maybe four shitos in the Rishonim between Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam, and the Radbaz. And then we saw how it shakes out in the Halakha. Generally, we actually do paskin that the problem is Chumr Dechametz and not the Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. That's what that seems to be majority view, at least amongst Ashkenazim. Less clear in the Shulchan Aruch. And we saw a bunch of nafkaminas, the most primary and the most paradigmatic being Erev Pesach, because it's not Karis. So if it's not Karis, so then if you're worried about Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin, it's Usur anyways. If you're not worried about Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin, you're only worried about Chumr Dechametz, then it doesn't exist. So Erev Pesach should be Mutar B'Mashu. Shkoyach.
I was traveling to my in-laws, and after Pesach, and I sell my in-laws chametz, and there's a question whether or not my parents-in-law would buy some chametz on the Pesach, and they think whatever they do, they do. And would I be allowed to go? And my kids don't eat cereal in their house. It was a few weeks after Pesach, and he said, and we have our own, when we go, then we have our own cutlery, and it's a whole. There's no Indian of kashrut. Kashrut, we're 100%. And he said, yeah, is that all okay? He says, yeah, they've got no problem with Chomet Shabbat on Pesach.
Why?
He said that...
the cutlery. You mean the cutlery?
No, the kashrus is 100%. The kashrus there is 100%. We have our own cutlery there. We change everything. Right.
So which thing were you worried about?
I was worried about the Chomet. I was worried. I sell the Chomet. Yeah. I sell my father-in-law's Chomet every year.
Right.
But I was worried that on